Jesus, through your committed living and dying, you show us the possibilities of love and reveal the first fruits of your kingdom. Jesus, by your patient waiting in the tomb, you show us the possibilities of love and reveal the first fruits of your kingdom. Jesus, in your rising from the dead, you show the possibilities of love and reveal the first fruits of your kingdom.
We confess that all together we have let out of the law of shame and denied the possibility of transformation.
Jesus, incarnate love, committed, patient, and free, your resurrection reminds us that the graveyard is also where life begins again. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into your one will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our heart may be fixed where true joy is found. Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first reading today comes from the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaimed to you a way of salvation. She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. When her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. Then the jailer woke up, saw the prison doors wide open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, Do not harm yourself, for we are all here. The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They answered, Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. They spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. And then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thank you.
Our second reading comes from Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Holy wisdom, holy word.
The good news from John, the 17th chapter. Praise to you, O Christ. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and those know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The good news given for you.
Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gusties.
Good morning.
It is such a privilege and an honor to join you today in worship I'm deeply grateful to Chaplain Brian Conkle for the invitation to come and spend time on your lovely campus here in St. Peter. Your gracious welcome has been heartfelt and appreciated. I know it's a rigorous period right now with your academic year ending soon, and I remain very grateful to Brian, to Siri, and so many of you for your hospitality. May I also say, as a California resident, how impressed I am that you feature a severe weather awareness week blog on your Gustavus website. Unfortunately, for this weather enthusiast, there is not so much weather to report about in our beautiful, beloved, but drought-stricken state. But needless to say, on this seventh and final Sunday of Easter, Mother's Day, and community worship service here in Christ Chapel, I did not come, of course, to talk about the weather. Although it's quite spectacular, I must say, thank you. I come to offer timely insight from an extraordinary theologian and civil rights leader, Howard Thurman, who served as dean of the chapel at Howard and Boston Universities for more than two decades. In the search for common ground, Dr. Thurman reminds us the contradictions of life are not final or ultimate, that God is the giver of forgiveness and mercy, ever ready to offer shalom, peace, the possibility and promise that order, well-being, hope, compassion, and love might yet prevail. Some will suggest that God or any manifestation of such seems powerless and absent in the face of ongoing suffering, violence, and pain, and that despite the efforts of well-intentioned, generous, committed, and noble persons, the world remains oppressive and inhospitable for many. Everything is arranged and fixed and settled and closed. All the assets are frozen, and things will remain the way they are. I come to remind us that against this kind of perspective, we who identify as Christian or post-Christian, non-affiliated, spiritual but not religious, spiritual and religious, and more, have long thought otherwise. We hear the same through the songbook of our Jewish sisters and brothers, the Psalms as it does today, and what a beautiful setting of one of my favorite hymns. Thank you so much for that fantastic piece. The Psalms remind us to imagine that God is still on the move. We pray and praise because we know the prison houses of fear cannot contain this God who gives life and breath and all things. It is here we remind ourselves that the God of Scripture is an inscrutable, mysterious, even odd power and presence for life in this world. It is a power and presence that breaks down our settlements of rich and poor, insiders and outsiders, and circumvents our categories of security and explanation. I come to urge us, despite what the liturgical calendar signals, to linger longer with the provocative notion from Hebrew scripture scholar Walter Brueggemann that Easter is not just an ancient oddity. It is an unsettling way in the world that continues to have socioeconomic, political, and human implications. Easter is not a spiritual event, but a surging of power that touches all of life. The Easter question for us is not whether you can get your mind around the resurrection, because you cannot. Rather, the question is whether you, whether I, can permit in our horizons new healing power, new surging possibility, new gestures to the lame, new ways of power in an armed, fearful world. New risk, new life, dancing, singing, praising the power beyond all of our controlled powers. This unsettling way in the world has tangible implications for your life and for mine. On this Community Worship Sunday, it is understood that this is a community here this morning, not built around social or economic affiliation, not built around demographic characteristics. It is a community that gathers at a holy table for a common meal that becomes our peace, our grace, our wholeness, and our life. It is a community called into being as a new, continuing community of hope, gathered and united around the love of God and the love of neighbor. One that understands new surging possibilities, new ways of power, new risks, new life as flowing out from this place, from this community of learners and leaders, educators and entrepreneurs, pastors and prophets, scientists and singers, musicians and mentors, athletes and artists, out into the world itself. This morning's gospel contains what some scholars note as the penultimate words of Christ. Jesus models in this farewell prayer the truth that the deepest moments of life are those when our hearts and our habits are wide enough to include others. Here he prays for his disciples and all those who would come after them. He knows they will be in conflict with the world as his own life, his own message were in such conflict with the world. Five times within the verses of this gospel text today, the word love appears. It is a magnetic grace through which God seeks our attention. It is the ingredient that Christ prays will be manifest in all of us, in all of his followers. At the risk of teetering on sentimental platitudes, we do know how this narrative ends. There is glory in a loving unity, but it is a glory that cannot be separated from the execution of an innocent man. It is the story of a self-giving love that is resurrected into new life, a new life that must be evident in us. And if not now, when? The words of Howard Thurman resound again. The contradictions of life are not final or ultimate. God is the giver of forgiveness and mercy, that hope, compassion, and love may yet prevail. Christ's message is now entrusted to the disciples and to us, and this prayer is not one of pessimism, but of deepest love, as he yearns for his followers and for us to know and be sustained by a love that truly binds us together, the same relationship of love and unity he shares with God. This call to community into the very heart of God's love together is the surging power at the foundation of our hope and our unity, even today in the face of essential conflict with a world that we are called to confront with a love and a truth it does not want to know. How do we carry on? How do we show up in a world where success, wealth, power, and control rank among its highest aspirations, where racism, violence, shame, and incivility animate daily encounters. How do we participate in God's work and shalom on earth? Will we show up? Precisely last Sunday, at this time in Palo Alto, following our university public worship service in Memorial Church on the Stanford campus, a number of us gathered to begin a four-week conversation using Karen Armstrong's text, 12 Steps to a Compassionate Life, as our guide. In the heart of Silicon Valley, at a high-octane secular academic institution, we too are pressed to consider the contradictions of life as not final or ultimate, but as a clarion call to not only redeem creation, but others and ourselves as well. In her preface, Armstrong writes, "It is hard to think of a time when the compassionate voice of religion has been so sorely needed. Our world is dangerously polarized. There is a worrying imbalance of power and wealth, and as a result, a growing rage, malaise, alienation, and humiliation that have erupted in terrorist atrocities that endanger us all. We are engaged in wars that we seem unable either to end or to win. We began our conversation by ruminating on the question, can compassion heal the seemingly intractable problems of our time? And in light of today's gospel text, as well as last Sunday's, you might recall, in which we heard once more the command to love, I wonder, can love be evident or understood without compassion? In a society and among institutions like Gustavus Adolphus and Stanford University, where the IQ, intelligence quotient, is highly sought, presumably expected and rewarded, where future leaders, economic, political, civic, religious, and otherwise, inhabit our classrooms, with what priority and rigor might we be willing to establish, nourish, and optimize a CQ, compassion quotient? The final prayer of Jesus, the wisdom of Walter Brueggemann, Howard Thurman, Karen Armstrong, as well as the landscape of our own lives, traditions, communities, and institutions, help us recall that the sages, the prophets, the mystics, throughout our time and history, did not regard love or compassion as an impractical dream. Karen Armstrong would remind us they worked hard to implement them in the difficult circumstances of their time, as we work today to find a cure for cancer. They were innovative thinkers, ready to use whatever tools lay at hand in order to reorient the human mind, assuage suffering, and pull their societies back from the brink. They did not cynically throw up their hands in despair, but insisted that every person has the ability to reform herself or himself and become an icon of kindness and selfless empathy in a world that seems ruthlessly self-destructive. And yet, where we might yet see the powerful reality of lives directed by love and compassion. I leave you with this. In the dream of a common language, The poet Adrian Rich keeps us ever mindful of this task at hand. My heart is moved by all I cannot save. So much has been destroyed. I have to cast my lot with those who, age after age, with no extraordinary power, reconstitute the world. May we, dear friends, dear people of God, today and every day, cast our lot here and everywhere, our lives energized in unity with those who experience a love of compassion, of kindness, and selfless empathy, singing, praising, dancing with new risk and new ways of power, ever mindful that we are among those, all of us, called to reconstitute this broken and beautiful world. Amen.
Please join me in the affirmation of faith. We believe that Jesus, God unbounded, directed by love, accepted restraint, and lived a fully human life to begin the healing of the world.
Hallelujah.
We believe that Jesus, God unbounded, sustained by love, accepted restraint, and died on the cross to draw the sting of death.
Hallelujah. With faith be accepted.
We believe that Jesus, God unbounded, empowered by love, accepted restraint, and was entombed to break the grip of evil.
Hallelujah. With confidence we believe it.
We believe that Jesus, God unbounded, directed, sustained, and empowered by love, threw off all restraint and rose from the dead to transform the world through life.
Alleluia. With joy we proclaim it. Thanks be to God.
Rooted in the abundant life and love of Christ Jesus, we pray for the life of the church, the lives of people in need, and the life of all creation. God of renewal, fill us to overflowing with the grace we receive in word, in water, in the meal. Draw others to join the life we share in your church. Lord of love, declare your righteousness through the blossoming of creation. By the winds blowing and birds singing, inspire us to join in the hymn of all creation. Lord of love, be the source of all strength and peace for people who are imprisoned. Renew them with the overwhelming power of your salvation and give them release for their spirits. Lord of love, reveal yourself to those who feel isolated because of illness, grief, status, or the prejudice of others. Comfort and welcome them into your spirit-filled community. Lord of love, bless those who serve in a mothering role for others. Send your spirit to those who mourn, those who have not known their mothers, or those who long to be a mother. Lord of love, you draw the saints into your presence. Draw us into the mystery and wonder of your presence until Christ comes again. Lord of love, we deliver all this into your care, O God, trusting in the work of your Holy Spirit to bring all things into the risen life of Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God is with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you to share God's peace with one another.
Please rise. And let us pray. Gracious God, our Father and Mother, for the labors, the love, and the care that gave us the delights of this and every day, we say,
thanks be to God.
For the nourishment of our spirit, the challenges that strengthen us, and the friends we have on the journey, we say,
thanks be to God.
For all that fills our lives, for these good gifts, we say,
thanks be to God.
Overflowing with gratitude, let us say, thanks be to God. Amen. People of God, people of life, we gather as a holy communion for a meal that has been shared countless times, in countless places, and in countless ways. The first time this meal was shared, Jesus gathered around a table with a ragged collection of people, outcasts, betrayers, the power-hungry, and fragile, lonely, lost. The first time this meal was celebrated, Jesus promised that it was for all time, that whenever the bread was broken and wine was poured, wherever the story was told around the table, he would be there. Today we remember the story. As it's been told 1,000 times over, we eat the bread and we drink the wine, and we affirm that we all belong at this table, and that Jesus is here. So if we come to this table angry, let this bread and wine be our peace. If we come to the table broken,
let this bread and wine be our grace.
If we come to the table betrayed,
let this bread and wine be our boldness.
If we come to the table in despair,
let this bread and wine be our life.
For this is a holy table, with food to fill a hungry world and wine to quench thirsty hearts.
Thanks be to God.
He was betrayed, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink, all of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." We remember Jesus' death and resurrection, our hope and our life. We break the bread and share one cup.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Please rise. Gracious God, generous mother of life, you supply us with good things. May this bread and wine be the nourishment we seek, and may it transform us into a new creation. Amen.
Creator God, provider of all, we bring our thanks today, and we bless each other that the beauty of this world and the love that created it might be expressed through our lives and be a blessing to others now and always. Amen. Jesus, love resurrected, has met us once again in the garden and touched and transformed us with life. Alleluia, with joy we accept it. Jesus, life in all its fullness, now calls us onwards into the powerful reality, the challenging potential, and the vibrant possibilities of the life of his kingdom. Alleluia. With conviction we will live it. Thanks be to God. Amen. May we go in peace to love and serve. Thanks be to God. Amen.